Now, today I want to begin a new series with you out of the book of Colossians. You can go ahead and turn there if you will. This is one of the deeper letters that Paul has written to us throughout the New Testament. The title of the message that I'm giving you today is simply, Jesus is Lord of all. He's the Lord of everything. And those four words changed the world. Jesus, Lord of all. Those four words changed my life. And those four words changed your life if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the very core and central truth of all Christianity, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is everything. And in Colossians chapter 1, I want to show you from God's word the truth that transformed not only our lives, but still transforms people today when Jesus is Lord of life and Jesus is Lord of all. Now, just for a quick background, and we'll deal with it more next week when we're together, the book of Colossians is written in the first century to combat a heresy that was coming along dealing with the authenticity of Jesus' ministry, of the church trying to blend with the world. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And Paul writes this letter to the Colossians, the church at Colossae, to deal with that. Now, we're told in the book of Colossians many things about Jesus. We're told that he is the author and the Christ of creation. And the truth is, you can't help but look in the beautiful summer stars here in the evenings in the central Ohio area and just see the glory of God. Or look at the creation of the trees and the grass and the plants. What a beautiful summer we've had. Enough rain to keep everything going, and even though it came a little heavy day before yesterday. But notice with me, if you would, just one verse in verse 16 of chapter 1 in the book of Colossians. It says this, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." In fact, the entire universe was planted by him, every bit of it, every parcel. He has the entire world. There's an old gospel song that says he's got the whole world in his hands. And it goes on to say he's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. And it means that he's truly to be the Lord of our lives, every part of it. And the truth is, Jesus doesn't want to be a secondary attachment to your life, a possession that you have that you file for Sunday morning to come to church. In fact, he won't accept that. Whoever got the idea that you can be a part-time follower of Jesus Christ makes me wonder if that person has truly accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, folks, I want to be very honest with you this morning. I believe we live in very dangerous times spiritually in the United States of America. And today, this morning, in this closed room, is the time to decide how committed you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as you leave this room, week after week, you will have to learn to take a strong stand to know whom I have believed in and really be persuaded that he's going to help you through everything we have in life. So what does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is Lord? It means that Jesus Christ is sovereign. It means that Jesus Christ is superior. It means that Jesus Christ is supreme. It means that Jesus Christ is above all. There's no rivals, not even one. So the question is, since Christ is on the throne of the universe, here's the question, is Christ on the throne of your life? The problem is we have a tendency to move the person off the throne that needs to be there, which is Jesus, and sometimes put ourselves on the throne. I have done that so many stinking times. I ask God to forgive me every single time that I do it, because either Christ is sitting there or you're sitting there. And the question is Christ the Lord of your life? That's the question for today. One page over from Colossians 1 is Colossians chapter 2. Follow with me in verses 6 through 10 and listen to what Paul said. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Since you have it, live it. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So Christ rules, Christ reigns, Christ is everything for us spiritually. Look down in chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, do you remember once Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain? It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Church, that's our hope, that this world doesn't get the last word. When Christ appears, we will appear with him. This isn't the end of the story. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming in glory and with great power, and he rules and he reigns. Notice verse 11 in chapter 3. It says, for there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, Barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So what I want us to do this morning is to make a confession together collectively as a church before we go any further. I want you to repeat with me this profession, this confession that I'm going to share, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's just four words, Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you say that with me? Jesus Christ is Lord. Now look at verse 17. Paul said, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus is Lord. I think we would all agree with that. But now is where it gets down to the nitty-gritty. This is where we put on our walking shoes. And this morning I need those to be tennis shoes, if that word is still acceptable. Because we're going to go kind of fast as we look at some things that make practical the thought that Jesus Christ is Lord in our lives. What it means literally is that daily and deliberately, I allow Jesus Christ to have the preeminence in my life. I'm to crown him king of my life. Dr. John MacArthur said, any day that I do not grow in Christ, I consider that day to be a total loss. Dr. Jack Graham offered some specific ways that we could exemplify Jesus Christ being Lord in our life. I want to share a couple of them with you. If you look on the back of your worship guide on your bulletin, you'll see eight blanks for us to fill in as we go through dealing with some of the specifics where Jesus Christ, where the Bible says that Jesus Christ should be Lord of our life. It's not something you have to guess at and wonder if you're making him Lord or not. But Paul says, here's some specific ways that you know that you're living what you're talking at the same time. And I phrased each point as an affirmation. So not only are you saying it, but you're affirming what Jesus Christ has done in your heart. The first one, if you'd write it down very quickly, Jesus, be the Lord of my temple. Jesus, be the Lord of my temple. Now, we just read that Christ lives in us, that Christ is alive in us. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we as believers are the habitation of Holy God. We're the habitation of Jesus Christ. I've told you positionally that God the Father is who we pray to through Jesus Christ, his Son, who the Bible says is at the right hand of God making intercession through the Holy Spirit. But did you know that when Jesus is in your heart, when Jesus is in your life, and it says here that Christ who is in you, that Christ can be in us, the Holy Spirit can be in us. And so the only temple that God recognizes today, I know the Jews would love to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem, and they will, but I want you to know you are the temple of God on this earth. Your body is the residence of the Holy Spirit of God, of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's alive in us. And Jesus Christ lives in his temple, and it just so happens that you're the temple of God. And you know, God likes varieties. Did you know I learned that there are 54,000 different species of beetles? Do we really need 54,000 different kinds of beetles? And then there are about 8 billion different species of human beings. Our temples look so different. Some of you are towering way up high. Some of us are squatting low, so it's safer down here. But our bodies, however the shape is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says it's not a building made with hands. In other words, not by human construction, but by divine construction. God created us. In the beginning, God created. And God gives us this spiritual temple that we have that we sometimes get frustrated with, that sometimes we want to improve. that on our good days and our smart days, we realize that this physical body is going to pass away. But inside of that body, inside of your soul, inside of your core, that is where Jesus Christ resides, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6. This is really great. He said, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And incidentally, he prefaces this and follows up with dealing with sexual immorality. Talks about all sorts of sexual acts, men with men, people doing things that are wrong. And then he says, I want to remind you, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So in our physical lives and in our spiritual lives, we're to glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And to glorify God, what does that mean? It means to make him large. It means to make Jesus large in our lives, to honor him and to glorify him, to give him honor and to give him praise. And because we've been purchased by Jesus Christ, we have been purchased by him, redeemed by him. The Bible says you were bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're possessed by Christ. Christ lives in us. And because Christ lives in us, every day in our lives should be a day with God. Every day is God's day. Every day you take your temple out of bed and you say to your left leg, get up, left leg. And then the right leg, get up, right leg. Take time to acknowledge that God gave you those two legs and that your temple, your body, is getting ready to follow him. And what that means is that not only do your legs not belong to you, but your eyes don't belong to you. Your ears do not belong to you. Your mouth, though we love to let it go, does not belong to you. Your hands, what you touch, your feet, your body. One pastor, when I was preparing for this message, said that one of the practices he's gotten into when he prays personally alone in the morning is to just touch major parts of his body and say, Lord, remind me that this is your body, that you want to use this part of my body today for your kingdom. And the truth is there are probably days, if you're like me, that you try to take back some parts of that body, that you want to do it your way, or you've tried to control some things that only he controls. But our bodies and our lives, truly as believers, are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. And you know, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, do you remember there were a couple of times where Jesus went into the temple and cleansed the temple? He drove out the money changers. He made sure that things were right in that temple at that time. Well, those abuses today can take place in our physical temple. And don't think it would be wrong if Jesus would come to you and clean up your temple from time to time. Don't think it would be out of line for Jesus Christ to not only have the ability to do it, but the compassion and the care that you would be able to grow closer to him. Let me ask you a question. Does your temple need cleansed today? He has the freedom. He doesn't have to ask you if you're a child of God whether he can clean your temple or not. He can not only clean your temple, he can clean your clock. He's not in the clock cleaning business, by the way. He cares very much about you as a child of God. But ask yourself that question. Look at the verse again. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So why should we take care of our bodies physically? Because Jesus is the master of our temple. Why should we take care of our bodies spiritually? Because Jesus is Lord of the temple. Jesus be Lord of my temple. And then the second thing I want you to write down quickly is Jesus be Lord of my time. We don't think about it. We all have the same 24 hours every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But the Bible says that the Lord wants us to let him be in control of that. Our time, that means our schedule. That means that every day of the year belongs to him. I talked to a couple folks last year, and they said this to me. They said, you know, when we retired, we thought we'd have plenty of time, and we're busier than we were when we were working. It's amazing how our time, our calendar gets filled up. When Jesus is Lord, we realize this most important thing, maybe one of the most important things I'll say today, and it is this. every day is a gift from God. Not every year, not every month, but every day is a gift. It all of life comes from his hand. In Ephesians 5:16, Paul said, making the best use of time because the days are evil. We only have so much time in these evil days to do the work of the Lord. The devil is doing everything he can. What we do, we need to do now. We do not need a 2-year or a 3-year plan. We need a two-hour, a 2-day plan. Lord, what can I do for you today? It means to seize every opportunity that God gives you to share his love with people. It means to make the most of every day he's given you. He's given you breath, and he's given you a sound mind, and he's given you energy, and he wants you to use that. And whatever else you do, do it all. Whether you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do it all to the glory of God. And if you're wasting your time and you're wasting your life, sometimes people will say, well, you know, Frank, I'm just waiting for another season. I'm just cooling my jets. God's going to show me another season of something that I can do for him. That's the devil's lie to get you to sit on your back part and not do anything for Jesus Christ. And if he hasn't shown you something specifically to do, I would encourage you to find where there's a need and get involved in helping to fill that need until he shows you clearly what he wants you to do. The problem with that lackadaisical mindset is that life isn't lived by the year or the month, but by the day, maybe even every moment. And I don't want to waste a moment. I don't want to sit around waiting for something to happen in order to serve God. Because I know that Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. I know that Jesus said there's always an opportunity. I remember many, many years ago when I left the mother church and I went to my spiritual overseer. And I said, Brother Hanks, you know, not only am I leaving, but I'm going to become a Baptist. Do you think I'm going to make it? And he looked at me and he said something I'll never forget. He said, Frank, as long as you're willing to help meet people's needs, you will never be unemployed. As long as you're willing to reach out and touch people where they hurt the most. And he was right, praise God. And so this day being today is the day of salvation. This day, meaning in Psalm 118, notice this, it's where the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So there's this day. But may I tell you, there's also that day. In the life of a Christian, those are the only 2 days that matter. This day, yesterday's a canceled check. Tomorrow, we do not know what's going to be. This is the present. It is this day that we stay busy for the Lord. But my friend, there's also that day. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. That day is when Christ will come. That day is the day that we stand before him. That is the day we sing all these songs about how we're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. So in a real sense, for a believer, there are only 2 days on the calendar. There's this day and there's that day. Colossians 3:1 says it this way. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is no time for idleness. 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this. You don't want to limp your way into heaven when you had health to walk and run spiritually. You want to run into the gates of heaven, cut across that ribbon called eternity with your hands up in the sky and hear from the grandstand, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, Lord, could you wait till the next Netflix series is over before you return? Just talking, just saying this morning. The truth is we waste a lot of time and we need to be diligent. So Lord, be the Lord of my temple. Lord, be the Lord of my time. And then thirdly, would you write this down? Jesus, be Lord of my treasure. You've heard it said, you give him your time, your talent, and treasure. And it's true. Not only does our bodies belong to him, but our treasures, everything that you've accumulated and I've accumulated, belong to him. The book of James says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down to us from the Father of lights. It's his property. And what it means is, truthfully, and I know you know this, we're not the owners of the things we have. We are only the stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Are you being good stewards with what God has entrusted you with? And we all have something to steward. The piles may be different sizes, but whatever pile there is, God has entrusted you to steward that. What we have belongs to him. All of it. I'm not talking about just the 10%, but all of it. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. So here's that hard question again. Is Jesus the Lord of your finances? Or do you take a hands-off approach? I heard Dr. John Maxwell say one time, I've never forgotten it. He said, don't tell me how much you love Jesus. Show me your checkbook. They're so easy for us to just put off. And you heard about that. You know, after bills are out so long, they burn them at the U.S. Treasury. And there was a $100 bill and a $20 bill and a $1 bill getting ready to be burned in the fire. And they said, hey, what'd you do during your existence? $100 bill says cruise lines, fancy restaurants. $20 bill said Texas Roadhouse, you know, restaurants in the middle. They said $1 bill, what'd you do? He said church, church, church. But anyway, the Lord is the Lord of our finances, of everything. He's in control. The tithe is the Lord's. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And so I want you to know that when you give, you're doing it in obedience to Christ. Yes, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, but I want you to know he'll accept from a grouch. He wants us to put him first in all of our ways, including our finances. And what giving is you're being dependent upon him. Giving gives us confidence that God is in charge of our provision. And it's a good time for me just to stop and say this to you as a church. Thank you for your giving. Guys, thank you for all you do to allow us to do all that we do. Thank you for caring so much and your faithfulness and your generosity in sacrificial giving that comes through regular giving week in and week out, which is the backbone and what we need as a church to keep going. But also the extra special mission giving. This last year, over $250,000 went to international missions. This last year, over $100,000 going to Birthday Gift for Jesus and helping missionaries and churches that are not always just like us, but in great need of the work that's been done in Appalachia. Thank you for last year helping us put over 200,000 meals together for the Ukraine, and then you showing up to make that happen and packing it. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing the same thing for the South Sudan. If you've been watching the news, you know they were at the point of starvation in many areas there. Thank you for making ministry happen for our kids to go to children's camp, for our teenagers to go to youth camp. This past week, five of our teens at youth camp in Kentucky accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know how you do not thank God for that. And praise him for all of his goodness. And when you see the big picture, you get it. It makes a difference. If you see the big picture and you get that what you have belongs to God, I'll never have to beg you for an offering. You will do. D.L. Moody said, God will never call you to something that he will not provide for you, because God's work done in God's way has God's provision. And God always wants to do that. So is Jesus the Lord of your treasure? All of it. Then, Jesus, be Lord of my tongue. Very important thing. That's a good one. Now, on the downside, I know you know what that means. I don't want my tongue to express negativity. I don't want my tongue to share gossip. I don't want my tongue to be full of anger and strike out to hurt people, criticism or slander or lies or profanity or blasphemy. Is Jesus the Lord of your tongue, your mouth, what you say? And sometimes we let it go so loosely. We say things that we'll regret later. And the truth is we become so callous with profanity and everything else. Even normal TV shows, news shows, use profanity in the way that they report. Our tongues can get away from us very easily. But in a positive vein, your tongue can be very powerful for God. My words are used to glorify God. My soul doth magnify the Lord. It is very beneficial. It is very helpful for us to say, Lord, I love you, to express that. It's very beneficial for you to look in the eyes of a family member and say, hey, I want you to know I love you. Hey, I want you to know we've had our differences, but you're very special. Words are very, very important. It means our tongue or words are to be used to the glory of God. Listen to what the psalmist David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you have a 3-minute conversation with Wayne Booth, Pastor Wayne, I think he says glory to God or praise the Lord or bless the name of Jesus about 5 times in every conversation. And maybe he's right and the rest of us are wrong. Or Charles Wesley's great old hymn, Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Our praise and proclamation of the gospel is so very important. You know, there was a time in the book of Acts where the apostles were told, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. We will beat you. We will arrest you if you do that. And they replied, we cannot help but speak of those things which we have seen and heard. And when Jesus is Lord of your life, they can't make you shut up about Jesus. And I don't just mean in the church building, but you will project in ways that are not offensive in the marketplace, in the neighborhood, in your home place, everywhere. And why do we do that? It's because our commander-in-chief gave us marching orders. We have to do that. Notice what Acts 1:8 says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How many of you have accepted Jesus in your heart? You know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? The moment you had that peace and that transaction was made, you had the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says in Romans, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you do not belong to Him. And He said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now notice the rest of the verse. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Westerville and Columbus and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we're told in Scripture how we know who those Christians are. We're to mark them by baptism. Baptism is the marking. That's how you identify. Like when you had cattle, you clip their ears. You separate the herd. God has decided that baptism marks that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. It is your public profession of what's happened on the inside. So baptism marks us, and discipleship matures us. And that's why that we come together and we study and that we learn and that we have scores and scores of small groups for you to get involved in and Bible studies so that we can learn. It's wonderful to praise Jesus in church. We love that. But is His name often on your lips when you're speaking to your family and friends and co-workers? Is His gospel in your mouth? May Jesus be the Lord of our tongues. And then would you write this down? May Jesus be the Lord of our trials. Because even though I would like to tell you that every day is going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and sunshine and no rain, the truth is we've had funerals this year. Just this weekend, Ralph Palermini passed away. Just yesterday evening, I got word that Mark Bryant went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had lots of illnesses this year. If you're on the prayer chain and you get the prayer sheet of how many people are in the hospitals, I think Genoa fills about one wing of Riverside Hospital on a daily basis. There are things that happen in our lives. There has been some heartache this year. There's been some heartbreak this year. There have been trials. But even then, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Lord of your trials. Your trials are not out of His control. You ought to write that down. My trials are not out of His control. And we're to steward our suffering just as we're to steward our money. We're to be good stewards of suffering and how we suffer and how we give God praise and honor and glory through every bit of that. When Jesus is Lord, it's impossible to be defeated in your life. I remember a young lady in our church that had an inoperable brain tumor. And she got the word that they couldn't operate and there was no hope. And she came running to me and I knew that she was getting the doctor's report. And she came in, she had the biggest smile on her face and she said something no one has ever said to me in all of my ministry. She took me by both hands, she smiled real big. She said, Pastor Frank, I get to go see Jesus. Somehow She got it. She got it probably better than I'll ever, because I cry over a hangnail. But she understood the deeper meaning and the deeper truth. When Christ is your life, Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Are you ready for this? We're all dying. Day by day, the clock is ticking. I know when you're 25 and buff and you got biceps and triceps and all those things. But the day's coming that you'll have furniture disease and your chest will drop in your drawers. And you'll realize that clock is ticking. It ticks all the time for everyone. We're all dying. We're all on our way to eternity. And with that way to eternity, here's what comes. Hardships come. Heartbreaks come. Heartaches come. How many have had a heartache or a heartbreak? Would you just raise your hand and give testimony to that? And you've seen how God has gotten you through that. And might I encourage you to make a note of that and put it in a file so the next time something difficult comes, you can look back and say, the Lord took care of me in this last valley. And I know that he's not only the Lord of the mountain, but he's the Lord of the valley. And he'll be with me through everything I go, every bit of it. But every battle, every burden is an opportunity to confess that Jesus is Lord, even in this. I think a great illustration of that in the Bible has to be Paul and Silas. It's dark, it's midnight, they've been beaten, they're in prison, they're hanging in chains, they're facing execution and death for preaching the gospel, and yet the Bible says they're singing. They're praising God at midnight. Somehow in the midst of their suffering, that means that the Jesus was the Lord of their trials. And you can't defeat a man or a woman like that, that has their hope on Jesus Christ. May Jesus be the Lord of our trials, because all God's children have trials. Then the next one, would you write it down quickly? May Jesus be Lord of my talents. I won't deal with this one much. We may address it in the future. But you've been gifted by the Holy Spirit with special abilities, certain abilities. I'm always amazed at how brilliant some of you are that I get to know, and all of you are in ways that God has gifted you. But as I get to know you, I sometimes say, you really can do that? God has really blessed you just like that? It's amazing. And it's a special ability that's been given to you by God. Here's the problem. They're not tools to play with. They're tools to work with. And by the way, those of you that work at Chase, you don't work for Chase if you're a believer. You work for God, and Chase gets to write the paycheck for you doing that. Whoever you work for, everything that you do, God is first, and you have a role to do that. So may I ask you, do you have a ministry? Do you have a role in the kingdom? Are you doing anything effective, or have you taken the worldly mindset of sitting back and letting other people do it, and you're missing the joy of being active for the Lord, of being actively involved with him? The truth is, we have a big job in this church coming up in the days ahead. We prayed for buildings, and God has given us buildings. We prayed for a school, and God has given us an incredible school. Now it is our turn to go to work and reach this community for Jesus Christ, to reach Central Ohio for Jesus, making a huge difference in Christian education. And we need everybody in all the ministries of the church. And you know, there were a number of years ago when the Lord laid on my heart that we were to start Genoa Christian Academy. And all the pastors said, oh, Frank, that was in the 80s and the 90s. People aren't doing Christian education anymore. It isn't cool. I said, well, why do you think God told me to do it then? Why do you think we do it? And they were all laughing. And when COVID happened, we were building the building. They were all laughing. And then the reality of how bad the schools and the public center were getting, and we are getting ready to open our building. And did you know that if you attend this church and you have children school age, as of 2 weeks ago, the state of Ohio is providing almost full tuition for your children to attend Christian school anywhere in the state of Ohio? You know what I think? I think we built the building just on time. Just when God wanted it to happen, just when it was going to come together. And we need everybody to say, I'll take my talents, whatever they may be, large or small. Some of you are 10 talent people, 5 talent, 2 talent like me. Whatever it is, we want to use it for the kingdom of God. Is Jesus the Lord of your talents? And then this one, would you write it down? May Jesus be the Lord of my thoughts. Did you know that the only way to change the way you live is to change the way you think? It has to start right there. It's so important that we understand it. Proverbs 43:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And listen, it is through prayer that we elevate our thoughts toward God. If you want to think greater things about God, spend time in prayer. Read the prayers in the Bible, the Psalms, the Scripture. Is the Lord of your thoughts, Jesus Christ, the way you think? Notice how Paul explains it in Philippians 4. Would you look on the screen? He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Zig Ziglar was a motivational speaker and a dynamic Christian. And Ziglar used to say, it's not your aptitude, but your attitude that will determine your altitude. It's so important that we have our mind, that 6 inches between our ears, focused on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we give the Lord the first day of the week on Sunday morning. Trust me, the golf courses are full. Last week when I came in, I missed the first service, and on my way down, you'd have thought it was amusement day in Ohio. I don't normally get to see that. I'm right here with you guys. And the whole world doesn't put God first on the first day of the week. But we're not the whole world. We're a peculiar people. We are God's chosen. And on the first day of the week, I commend you that you want to put Jesus Christ first, that you come into this building and you sing the praises to God, not rockabilly song, but to God, that you fill your mind and your heart with Scripture and principles that will help you live throughout the week to be all that Jesus wants you to be. And I don't know about you, but I need my spiritual batteries charged on a regular basis. And I'm so grateful, as David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we come each Sunday to set our minds and our affections on the things of God. And not only the first day of the week, not only the first part of your income, but the first part of your day, give it to God. As you get up, just say, Lord, please be on the throne of my life. I love what Proverbs 8:34 says. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. And remember this, that our relationship with God is a lasting relationship. There'll be areas, I almost put a grid on this outline to say, what am I doing on this? Good, fair, God help me. But mine would have been, God help me in so many of them. And we struggle in these areas. These things have nothing to do with the security of our salvation, but have everything to do with the effectiveness of our walk and life for Jesus Christ. That's why we walk with God every day. We elevate our thoughts. May I encourage you to set your mind on things above? There, I bet I've missed a lot of good movies, and my ADD won't let me watch a whole movie at one time. But I bet I've missed a lot of good action movies because they're rated R. But you know, I bet I've also missed a lot of vulgarity and things that I would not be able to get out of my mind today. Be very careful what you allow your eyes to see, your ears to hear. Instead, focus on the things of God. Doesn't mean that we don't have entertainment. We should have entertainment. We should enjoy this world, but we should not be Sunday morning Christians. Your amens are thrilling me to death today, I can tell you that. So let me give you one thing more briefly, if I may, and that is, Jesus, be Lord of my times. Now, I know I said time to begin with earlier, but this is plural. This is times. In Psalm 31:15, David used the term. He said, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. That's a time when we wonder, Lord, what are you doing in these times? God, what's happening in our country? What's happening in our society? What has happened to our culture? God, what has happened in churches that are rolling over and living like the world and not standing on the things of your word? There's so much compromise. Lord, there's so much darkness. There's so much disease. But our times are in his hands because he is Lord. I want you to know something. Joe Biden may be president, but Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Time changes, but Jesus never changes. I mean, listen to the promise of Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then one final scripture, and we'll be finished. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14 says, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. President Woodrow Wilson said many years ago, I would rather temporarily fail. He was talking about America and democracy. He said, I would rather temporarily fail and ultimately succeed than to temporarily succeed and ultimately fail. And it may seem like to you that Satan is succeeding right now. It does seem to look that way. But I want you to know at the end of the day, in the times that are going to come as Christians, I know it seems like we're getting the short end of the stick, but in his time, this is not his time. Though he is ultimately in control and could change anything, this is the time of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world. And he is the god of this age, Satan is. And it seems to be his time. And in the last days, I just want to say it to you again, it's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. Brace yourself and hold on. I think we've only seen the beginning of chapter one of what's coming with the horrible sin that's going to come upon our country and in this world. But in the midst of all of that, we still stay true to our Lord Jesus Christ. But in his times, he'll be revealed King of Kings because Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is coming, and he will establish a kingdom that will last forever and ever. And until then, we have a responsibility to go to a beaten down world by the ravages of sin with the good news. We go with the message of hope, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand it all, but in the midst of the sin of the world, Jesus calls people, redeems people, and changes their lives for all of eternity.